This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger, inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WYNNBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. And next, we're brought to you by PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one app for free sports betting picks, props, and parlays. Download the free PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. And finally, we're also brought to you by OddsCrowd. Are you the best football bettor in the United States? OddsCrowd challenges you to prove it with their free-to-play fantasy betting contests. OddsCrowd gives away hundreds of dollars in weekly contests, including the $100 SGPN exclusive free roll contest, which, of course, you can only find at OddsCrowd. And finally, do not forget to download the SGPN app. It is your home for all of our free picks, news, podcasts, and so much more. Get it all right in the palm of your hand when you download the SGPN app, wherever it is you download apps.
Hello, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 75. So this one will go out to the NBA, who is celebrating its 75th birthday this year. All those seasons, and yeah, they couldn't even have me play in even one of them. Like, you think 75 years, all those chances, they could have had me, allowed me to play at least one season, but no, the NBA's selfish that way. So anyhow. Who would I be? I would be Jeff Fox, your host of this here podcast, the MMA Gambling Podcast. Thank you for coming. Last time I checked, we were also ranked in China now, so we truly are the global. We truly are the world's favorite MMA podcast. We got China, Brazil, Germany, UK, Canada, US, Australia. We truly are worldwide. And the main reason we're worldwide is because my co-host is insanely good at picking winners for the Dinnerweight Contender Series, which we will probably talk about right away because he likes to talk about when he does good on things. So who would that be? You may ask. That would be Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Daniel, we also call him Barney Gumbo Vreeland. We also call him the prettiest purple belt around. I also say he was raised by bears. I think that's all I have to say. Hello, Mr. Vreeland.
Hey, what's up? And I do want to talk about the Contender Series right away.
Imagine that.
Before we talk about how great I am, though, I'm curious as what you thought watching this past week of the Contender Series because, you know, again, they gave four contracts out. The only person who didn't get one was Stephen Wynn, who just sat there in his chair crying while everybody around him celebrated. Which is pretty fucked up in the long term. But what did you think about the crop of people who won and they gave contracts to?
Not very good. I missed the first fight because I thought it was on regular TV up here. So I have a timer, you know, I programmed in to record it every time. But it wasn't, so I missed the first fight by the time I realized it was just on the app. I liked Clayton Rodriguez. He did fantastic. Plus, I was correct about the pronunciation of his name, so that was a double win for me. Like that fight, he's definitely got potential. You saw where that was headed. It was pretty certain he was not going to get a contract because he was not going for the kill. Yeah, other than that, and I missed the main event too, unfortunately. So
you just missed the two fights that I was prepared to rag on for getting contracts because I was like, I don't know about either of these guys.
Because
no offense to AJ Dobson, who wins in the main event and wins fast.
And got you plus money, right?
And got me plus money and made me look like a genius, which, by the way, so did the guy at the beginning of the fight card who I picked, Victor Brick Martinez. Despite Yanni the Greek, by the way, I don't know if you caught, of course you didn't catch it because you missed that fight. right before they bring on that knucklehead, who, by the way, I can't stand.
Does he make good picks? I always just skip. Like, I'm usually a few minutes behind, so I just skip when he's talking, so I don't hear his picks ever.
Well, I'll give you this as an example. So before that fight started, he said Jacob Rosales should easily be a -300 favorite over Victor Martinez. Which you'll notice, I took Victor Martinez at the plus money, and hey, if I could have gotten Yanni's supposed number, I probably could have gotten 250, 260 on him, because he said it should have been -300, and when they asked him for, like, a reason, he was like, Jacob Rosales has already fought this Dana White Contender Series challenge before.
good.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that's some good analysis. The guy's already been on the show and got knocked silly by Jonathan Pierce. So you're going to pick him because he's been in the Apex one time before?
I could have
to make him a -300 favorite.
I could have gotten knocked out too, and I still wouldn't be winning my next fight. I guarantee you that. So yeah.
Yeah, or being a -300. It wasn't that he thought he was gonna win, but like his whole analysis was like this guy should be a -300 favorite because he's been in this building one time, and that's like it's crazy. But anyway, back to my original point: Victor Brick Martinez, AJ Dobson. They both just kind of look sloppy. Like, A.J. Dobson won by knockout, and like you said, got me plus money. But, like, he came out and just, like, fought the opposite of what you wanted his game to be, which was, like, not calculated in punishing. It was, like, winging shots against the guy who only has a puncher's chance against you anyway, which I guess is, like, fun and reckless and probably why Dana gave him a contract. But it looked bad. Like, if I was going to pick people who I thought would be successful in the UFC only – like you said, I definitely would have wanted to sign the aforementioned, not Stephen Wynn. Who the hell were we just talking about? Clinton Rodriguez. And then I also definitely would have taken Michael Marais, that 21-year-old absolute beast with that late slam in the fight. Like, he looks like he is going to be, you know, Damien even said it when he offered him the contract, damn good in 7 years. And actually, he was the only guy who I didn't pick to win that I was I missed on.
Right.
And I was really impressed. Like, he's way better than I thought he was. So let's do a quick recap while we're at it. So over the last 2 weeks, I know you're usually the recap guy, but over the last 2 weeks, I am a combined 9-2 on the Contender Series. If you bet $100 on every single one of those fights alongside of me, you would be up $586.51, which is a pretty darn nice total. So over the last 2 weeks, 9-2 and almost $600. It's time to hitch your wagon to Gumby right here.
A lot of people, I say people have, like, blindly are taking your picks on our SGPN Slack channel. I saw someone comment that they were working all day, so they couldn't do research, so they're just going to tag along to all Gumby's picks. And like, oh boy, I hope Gumby comes through, and you did.
Yeah, I don't think I disappointed. So
nope. So, and you were doing all right even before. You did what the first week you did bad, and then you've done well, not bad, but
well. So I don't think I really picked in week one. Like we kind
of on the site up. You did though. On sportsgamblingpodcast.com, you made picks, and I think two and three or something like that.
Two and three, and that was in week two. I don't think I logged official picks for week one. So we're on week four now. 2, 3, and 4. Yeah, I went 2 and 3 the first week, and I think if you calculate it out, it was like -$100+. So even if you want to count that week, we're up over $400 over 3 weeks. And there's some guys I really like on this next week's card. I haven't gotten to see the odds on them yet. I got a really good feeling that one of them winds up being a pretty sizable underdog. So make sure you tune in on Sunday for all that goodness, too.
Yes. So anything else we really need to say about the night? Basically, Rodriguez and Morales are the – oh, you said Dobson won by knockout. It was submission.
Did he batter him down? Yeah,
okay.
he battered the hell out of him, including at one point when Arrigaga was running away from him along the cage, and he, like, snuck up behind him and threw one of those punches over his shoulder and hit him in the side of the head and knocked him back down again. Yeah, it's sort of a shame that had to go to a submission because, like, it could have been stopped real fast.
That's not a very nice thing to do, is it?
Nope.
Chase after the guy and punch him? It's like a bully thing.
Yeah. Not in a fight. You typically should not give people your back in a fight.
All right. So who are you so excited about? Just quick. a quick preview. Who are you so excited about for next week's Contender Series?
One of the guys I'm really excited about, and probably I see him as probably coming in as an underdog for this one, is Manuel Gaksha.
Not any longer, now that you mention his name.
I think he's favorite. I still think he's going to come in as an underdog, mostly because Chris Duncan, who is a Scottish guy who's going to be fighting him, has two or three wins in Bellator. So he's already kind of got that, like, popularity of that, like, European Bellator guy, because they, like, they flocked to Europe for a while and, like, really loaded their card with some European guys. So he was 3-0 over there, and they released him as part of their, like, we're not going back to Europe for a while, so we don't need you. And Gaksha hasn't fought in a really long time, but the dude is like a world champion in Taekwondo and throws some wild kicks. He recently moved his camp to the Netherlands so that he could get higher quality kickboxing training. And like I was already super impressed with him. So he's got crazy good striking. And he actually won his last fight by Von Fluchoke. You know, bottom line is he's fought bad competition. And Duncan's fought in Bellator, which is, you know, and they're matching 7-0 records. You imagine they're going to give the 7-0 Bellator guy quite a nice number compared to the 7-0 guy who's mostly beating up, like, dudes who are 1-2.
Yep, no doubt. Don't I – Aaron Jeffrey, I know that name, too, from Bellator, don't I?
Or not? Or am I thinking of someone else? Bellator, but you know him from LFA, CFFC. Okay. He was on the Contender Series one time already. He lost to He lost to Brendan Allen on Contender Series, actually, by rear naked choke. So, like, you know, obviously no shame in that after we've seen what Brendan Allen's done so far. So, yeah, that's a name you know, and I'm pretty high on. I do think he's probably going to come in as a bonkersly high favorite, though, again, because he's sort of a guy people know and has been doing really well. So, yeah, absolutely. So it's an exciting night with quite a few prospects.
Yeah, but week four, I think we can sum it up. It was probably the worst week in terms of action and in terms of quality moving forward, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, and that's another thing I wanted to mention. So I, you know, with you obviously missing a little bit of that show, you probably didn't get all of the commentary. The commentary, which by the way, I love Laura Sanko. She should do every show. She's great at it. But her and the other guy, Dan, I can't remember his last name, but that guy who does the play-by-play, both kept like, well, they got to go for it because you know what? You know, we're looking for finishes here on Contender Series. And I realized they completely accidentally killed their own narrative, right? Because wasn't that like the narrative of Contender Series for the first 2 years? Like, you got to go for the kill or else he won't give you a contract even if you win.
Be a killer, man. Got to be a killer.
And now, as long as you're not like a limp noodle in there, you know, barely making your way to a decision, you know, taking somebody down and throwing only a couple of punches like, you know, sadly Mo Miller did, or just not pouring it on as much as you could like Steven Wynn, like you just got to win and look like you wanted to. And you get a contract. And sometimes you don't even have to do that. So, it's sort of funny that they keep trying to use that narrative despite the fact that they've debunked it. And hey, maybe that's why the fights are worse, too.
Yep. It's basically, it comes down to, are you willing to fight for $10,000 to show? And $10,000 if you win? Okay, then you got a contract. That's basically what it comes down to. But anywho, let's put a bow on that. Oh, I forgot to, off the top, since we have, apparently we're big in China now, too, Dan. Do you want to say something in Mandarin to all the Chinese listeners, please?
I do believe I do know one phrase, and
you do for real.
Xie means thank you, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I throw to you trying to get you to embarrass yourself, and you never do. It's sad. I need a new co-host that's not quite as on the ball as this guy is. But anyhow, maybe we should move on because we got a massive fight card coming up this week. That would be UFC 266. But before we do that, we're talking about wins and losses and the guy named Wynn. Let's tell you about WynnBet. Ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBet. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today. And that rhymes. to receive a special offer, risk-free, $1,000 sports bet. Download BetWin. Download the WinBet app now or visit WYNNbet.com to start winning. So it's spelled W-Y-N-N, not N-G-U-Y-E-N, like Stephen Wynn. Got to feel sorry for that guy not getting the contract, but it was, I think, Safe Saud knew where it was headed to, telling him he had to put his foot on the gas pedal despite winning.
Yeah, I also think, too, if you went back 2 years, well, I do feel bad about it because, you know, it sucks to watch him sit there and hope for a contract and not get it and then have to listen to it. If you go back 2 or 3 years ago, he's not even in that room hopeful. Like, he's in that room being like, fuck, I didn't get it. And just kind of the theme of this year made him feel like he had a chance. Which, you know, for me, that show never should – He should never leave there feeling like he has a chance. I mean, in my opinion, neither should have, you know, and I liked Victor Martinez. I appreciate the plus money, but he in another season would have walked out not having a chance. And I think the show does better when you go back to that feeling where it is higher pressure and only a couple of them are getting contracts. Because think about the worst seasons of The Ultimate Fighter. The worst season of The Ultimate Fighter are the ones where every single guy off the season got to fight a couple of times in the UFC.
Yeah.
The best ones This year, you were like, it was really high pressure again, and it was back to being good. And you go back to the original ones, a lot of times those guys all got signed too eventually, but they didn't know that in the show. Whereas in those middle seasons, they were like, wow, we're all fighting on the finale anyway, so who gives a shit?
Yeah, this should be kill or be killed type of blood sport type of thing where you actually have to be spectacular if you want to get signed. But I know I keep harking back to the financials, but they need cheap talent to fill out their endless
and that's why
fight cards.
That's why it like feels even worse, right?
Yeah,
it
exactly.
It feels even worse that this is the product because it's both A, not a better product, and B, like, you know, terrible labor force manipulation.
Yeah, they have 15 fight night, 15 fight card, 15 fights on a fight night fight card, which on ESPN Plus that they have to fill with cheap people. So this card coming up this week is not a cheap fight night card. They've really switched, maybe not switch, I guess it's always been like this, but they really are going heavy on pay-per-views again, like stacking pay-per-views and to the detriment of any other card in the vicinity of it.
Yeah.
Like a lot of these fights, a lot of these undercard fights could easily headline a fight night card and be better than what they've put out the past few weeks.
Yeah, I actually just said on the prelim primer, the last three prelims of the night, I think all could be fight night headliners, and nobody had bat an eyelash.
Yep, for sure. I'm gonna make you people wait some more. I'm gonna tell you about PropSwap first, and then we're gonna get into it. Okay? We're brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Go and check out the new PropSwap.com, which is packed with fresh features like filtering tickets based on value to find the best odds available, browse the activity feed to stay in the know, loyalty rewards program that turns sales into extra cash, and much more. Use promo code SGP naturally on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match it up to $500. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. With PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. When making your bets, always make sure to go for two. Make two tickets on the same team or player so you can sell one for a profit and keep one to leave yourself some skin in the game. Thousands of buyers across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every day. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. All right. I've teased you long enough. UFC 266 is going down this weekend from the T-Mobile Arena in Paradise, Nevada, not Las Vegas. Even though it says right on the poster, welcome to fabulous Las Vegas. It is headlined by two title fights, and it has a third fight, which is five rounds also for no explicable reason other than that's what the Diazes want. And it's also been moved to middleweight for no reason other than that's what the Diazes want. But more on that later. There's been a lot of talk of us losing fights, but I don't think we haven't lost any fights since it's been set in stone the past few weeks, have we?
So I would say there is one very close to being lost.
Yes.
momentarily. Because there are a couple of people who are struggling with visas.
They're not even in the country yet.
Neither of them are in the country yet. I would also say we did lose Tatiana Suarez off this
card, although
that fight got fixed. We also lost Aaron Blanchfield versus Sarah Alpern off this card.
Well,
for some reason,
they moved
it up a week, which, I mean, I guess I don't care. This card is already crazy stacked, and that card could really use Aaron Blanchfield beating the piss out of Sarah Alpern. So, that's
literally, you think? You think literally or not?
I mean, if she had any control over any part of her body at the end of that fight, I would be pretty surprised. Because it looks like just about every muscle in her body had been mangled by the end of that fight.
Yes. Sorry to interrupt, but yes, I have to put in my juvenile humor or I will feel like I failed my listeners. But yeah, so we lost those, but I have a feeling we're not going to get the Dan Hooker, Nasrat Haque-Parras fight. Like, Hooker got his visa. Now Haque-Parras does not have his yet. And they're like, he's trying to get it tomorrow morning or something. Like, it sounds like a mess. And then they both have to make it to Vegas. And then they both have to successfully cut weight and not have a medical emergency based on that. And yeah, there's a lot hanging in the air with that, which is a shame. Cause that's one of the fights that we're looking forward to, I think.
Yeah. I do hope that one happens, but I will say this card will beat right on if it doesn't.
Yep. We will break it down regardless. Cause we're as of this recording Wednesday evening, the fight is still on. So there you go. Let's start things, shall we? It's a big fight card. We got 13. So it's average size, but it's. I do fight card rankings over on my MMA site, MMA-manifesto.com. If you click on a fight card, you'll see the UFC 266 fight card listed on the front page if you scroll down a bit. I rank them based on the talent on the fight card and whether it's a title fight, and I give more weight to main events, co-main events, that type of thing. This is the second best card I've ever ranked since I started doing this like 4 years ago. This is like a packed card. And it's not just based on, like, we've had a lot of two championship headlining fight cards. It seems to be the norm now for the UFC. It tops even all of those because it's got a lot. The undercard is just stacked also. So, enough rambling. Let's begin with the featherweight, shall we? This is one of the fights I have a question mark beside my pick, so I'm going to let Dan pick this one first.
Oh, God.
Okay, fine. I'll pick first. Fine. Featherweights, Jonathan Pierce, Omar Morales. Pierce has the blasphemous nickname of JSP, not GSP. Morales is even worse. His nickname is, do you know his nickname, Dan?
I don't know that
It's really smart. Venezuelan Fighter.
Is it better?
Guess where he's
worse?
From. Guess where he's from.
Is he better?
And guess what he does? He fights.
Is that better or worse than Caitlin Chokagian?
The blonde fighter? I don't know. It's tough. They're both up there. I don't like either of these nicknames. They both can go in the bin. We'll start with Pierce, shall we? He's 10-4 with 8 knockouts, 1 submission, 1-1 in the UFC. He won via TKO his last fight. After dropping his debut, he was on the aforementioned Contender Series where he was 1-0. He also was in Bellator where he was 2-0. He is an inch taller than Morales, and he lands 2.5 times more strikes than Morales does. Based on, this is a big enough sample size. He's had 3 fights inside the octagon, so he is far more active striker. He's at +132. The Venezuelan Fighter is 11-1 with 2 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's never been finished in a fight. He is 3-1 in the UFC. He used to be at 155 pounds, lightweight. Now he is a featherweight. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series, 1-0 in Bellator, so these guys have very similar paths. 2 inches of reach, 7 years younger, -150. I guess I'll go chalk here, unless Dan convinces me otherwise.
I'm going to go with the underdog, which is kind of why I wanted to...
Now I can't switch. Great.
Make you go first. The reason I like Jonathan Pierce on this one is basically what I've seen out of Omar Morales when he feels uncomfortable. You could see it a little bit in the Shane Young fight at certain points, but you could see it a lot in the Giga Chikadze fight, which obviously Jonathan Pierce is not Giga Chikadze. But in both those instances, when he felt uncomfortable, the thing that happens to him is he becomes trigger shy a little bit. He's afraid to throw his strikes. He's afraid to get, a little bit dirty. He actually has a very low output. I know you mentioned the striking stats were leaning towards Jonathan Pierce. The output on him is very low, and the striking accuracy is very low, and it's largely just because he kind of throws punches away where he can't be hit. I think if Jonathan Pierce mixes up enough of the takedowns and really threatens Omar Morales in that way, I think Morales is going to be more gun-shy on the feet too, and combining with just the insane output that Jonathan Pierce sometimes has, and the fact that he might, like, steal some rounds with takedowns anyway, I think, like, both of those two things combined is probably going to lead him to a decision here.
Okay, very good. I'll stick with Morales. I always, if in doubt, I always go with size and youth, and he has both of them over Pierce plus not too shabby 3-1 record in the UFC, but yeah, this was one of the ones that was up in the air for me. The next was a real tough one to pick, too. I'm sure Dan had a hard time with this one. Welterweights, Matthew Semelsberger versus Martin Sano Jr., not to be mistaken for Martin Sano Sr. Sano, let me see. Semelsberger's nickname is Semi the Jedi. Sano's nickname is Gumby crapped all over me last week on the podcast. No, actually, sorry. That's not his nickname. His nickname's Spartan. I guess he didn't crap all. You just stated facts, basically. And here are the facts about Martin Sano. And you guys can decide if he's worthy of being in the UFC or if he's just Nick Diaz's buddy. He is 4-2-1. That's questionable right there as a pro with one knockout, three submissions. So he finishes out all of his fights. That's a positive. This is his debut. Let's see how he's done in his last few fights. Oh, he's 0-2-1 over his last three. He was in Bellator. How was he there? Oh, he was 0-1-1 in Bellator. Okay, he was in World Series of Fighting. How did he do there? Oh, he's 0-1 in World Series of Fighting. Okay, when did he win last? Last win, 2014. Oh, interesting. All right, well, at least he's like a guy who's been active and, you know, he's in good shape, ready to roll. Oh, no, his last fight was February 2017. Oh, okay, interesting. He's definitely UFC caliber. Stephen Wynn is not, right? Sano, plus 340. If all that wasn't enough to deter you, you can get him for plus 340. Semi the Jedi, 8-3, 5 knockouts, 1 submission, 2-1 in the UFC. He lost his last fight after winning his first two. He used to fight at middleweight. This one is down at welterweight. He also used to be a college football player, if that means anything to you. He's 2 inches taller, 1 inch reach, 1 year younger, minus 475. He's obviously my pick. Do we really need to break down this one, Dan, or can we just make our pick and move on?
No, and you don't even have to just feel bad about just, like, looking at the records, because I went back and watched a Martin Sano fight, so I didn't just, you know, I wasn't just writing him off for bad results. That last fight in Bellator, the dude, like, leads striking exchanges with his chin and looks like a fish out of water on the mat. He's up against a guy who wrestles well and has hammers for fists. It will be over when Matthew Semelsberger says it will be over.
And the noise you heard was Muggsy, Dan's dog,
yeah,
warning him that Martin,
was in there.
That Martin, he's warning you that Martin Sano is at the front door. He wanted to warn me, Dan. So that's what. I guess you wouldn't be scared, though, would you?
Not in a grappling match. That's for damn sure. I don't know.
He's no Bartosz Stravinsky.
Yeah, he's probably much, 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 much worse than Bartosz Stravinsky.
Yes. All right. Before we move on, let's tell you about a newer sponsor of ours, Keeps. Keeps offers a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. Convenient virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months. You don't have to leave your home. Low-cost treatments start at just $10 per month, and Keeps offers generic versions. Discreet packaging and proven results. Keeps has more than 5-star reviews than any of its competitors has more 5-star reviews. Prevention is key. Treatment can take 4 to 6 months to see results, so act fast. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/SGP to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/SGP to get your first month free. keeps.com/SGP. It's far too much spelling in that for me. Let's tell you about PicksWise, too, while we're at it. PicksWise is the number one app for sports betting picks, helmed by a team of trend-watching, data-devouring sports fanatics, giving you the who, how, and why behind every prediction for every game, every day, and every sport. Loaded with best bets, props, and parlays, you can find in-depth analysis on every game, all for free. Found your pick? Search the latest sportsbook promotions to sign up an account, compare the odds, and finally place your bet. Download the free PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. PicksWise backs responsible gambling. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Muggsy's got a big boy bark, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Does he yell at the Bears when they're creeping around your house, Dan?
You know, so he's definitely been barking at whatever's been in our backyard for a couple of days, but mostly he just hates anything that makes a noise, which includes cars that go by, commercials featuring Charles Barkley, or a number of other things.
There you go. So he sounds a lot like his owner. You hate anything, period.
I don't hate Charles Barkley. I do like Charles Barkley quite a bit.
Well, other than that, is it pretty much the same
It's the same level of anger. He carries that through.
Very good. And he protects Dan from Martin Sano or Bartosz Fabinski if they ever track him down in the wilds of New England. All right, should we move on to the matter at hand, middleweights, Carl Robertson versus another Nick Diaz, a protege, Nick Maximov. We got Baby K is Robertson's nickname. Maximov does not have one yet. Maximov's kind of a nickname in its own. That's kind of a cool nickname. Cool last name.
Yeah, he's got a standard good last name. He also, exactly. I think, is a little bit more of a Nick Diaz protege, which is probably why he doesn't have a nickname.
Yeah, that's true. The Diazes do not need nicknames. So Maximov, we'll start with him since he's making his debut. He's 6-0 with 2 knockouts, 3 submissions, 1-0 in the Contender Series to get in here. So he actually worked his way into the UFC, not saying anything about anybody else. 2 inches of reach, 7 years younger than Robertson. He's got striking stats in his favor, but that's based on one fight of his in the Contender Series. So take that with a grain of salt. He's at minus 112. This fight actually is a pick'em as of when I checked it. They're both at minus 112. Baby K, Robertson, 9-4, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been subbed himself 4 times. Interesting. So all of his losses are via sub. And they've all come to the UFC where he's 4-4. Let me see. He's lost his last 2 fights via, guess how he lost them, Dan?
He lost his last 2 fights by submission.
Yes. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. Used to fight at light heavyweight. This one is at middleweight. He's got an inch of height over Maximov. He's a more active striker, but like I said, based on off of one fight for Maximov. And he's got better grappling stats. Once again, small sample size, minus 112. Maximov is, after I read an amazing article, a scouting report on him on MMA-manifesto.com, Maximov is the obvious choice here because Robertson is not very good at wrestling, and he gets subbed a lot. And Maximov is good at wrestling, and half of his wins come via sub. So we may have a prop bet here, too.
Yeah, I think so. The thing about this fight, though, I will say that gives me some pause, and I am picking Maximov here for the record, is that he, in his Contender Series fight through, and actually in any film that you can find on him at all, throws like maybe one strike period, not even a combination, one strike period before shooting that takedown. And I think he's going to have to be a little bit more nuanced to get Carl Robertson down, or he's going to have to like shoot, reshoot like 800 times on him before he finally gets him down. Robertson also works well from a clinch and from a sprawl. He uses good elbows from there. So I do have worries about those. And it makes me probably not want to put Nick Maximov in any parlays or anything like that. But ultimately I think he is going to get Carl Robertson down, and as you said, you know, Carl Robertson, all 4 of his losses in the UFC are by submission, granted to very good opponents, but I think Maximov's grappling is that of a very good opponent, even if getting it to the ground might be a little harder for him.
Yeah, you have to worry a bit about the experience levels of the two. Maximov's only fought 6 times. Robertson has more UFC fights. He's got 8 fights just in the octagon alone, 13 fights total, so yeah, that's you may not want to go hog wild with the money on this one, but the odds, at least as of this recording, are very favorable if you do want to drop some money on that Maximov. So we agreed on, 2 straight now, right? Let's move on to see if we can disagree on something here. Is this fight still on the card? I believe it is.
Which one's Menel, that?
Your favorite, Menel Fiorot.
She is sadly not still on the card. I've got very bad news for you. Yeah,
what happened to that?
I actually just read a tweet while we were taping here, so you jinxed us by saying we hadn't lost any fights. Menel Fiorot versus Myra Buena Silva has been rescheduled for October 16th due to right now it's listed as just COVID protocol. I don't know if somebody's got COVID. A cornerman's got COVID. They just violated a protocol. But apparently they will be fighting on October 16th instead, which is a huge bummer because Menel Fiorot is deadly.
What's this COVID thing you speak of?
Ah, non-existent anymore. Don't worry about it.
Okay. I think actually it does exist in Canada still. Not where you guys are, though. So all is well. Did you hear about the crazy thing that happened in Canada on Monday?
I mean, like, is that a – Is this a punchline or is it like?
Yes, I'm setting you up. You're the straight man. We had an election and we declared the winner like a couple hours later, and
that's
no one fought it.
Wild.
And no one fought it. And
was,
it's like,
was there a riot?
No, I think it's probably still being planned. They're probably going to attack Parliament. But yeah, crazy, right? Like even before, actually, it was like 9:30 Eastern. They declared who was winning. So
well, congratulations on your normal election. Yeah.
And my son, when he had his appendix out a few months ago, they forgot to charge my credit card. I guess because I haven't paid anything for it. Weird, eh?
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, maybe usually you get like 7 bills in the mail a couple of weeks later. That's usually what happens to me. So just wait.
Weird. All right, enough. I don't think Canada's perfect. Don't worry, people. We have plenty of problems. We have plenty of problems here also. But all right, moving along. There's no Canadians on this card, so I had to squeeze that in wherever I could. We've been bereft of Canadians the past few cards. I want to bring back my Canadian trivia and see how dumb I can make Dan seem. That's the one thing I have stumped you at is some of the Canadian trivia.
A little bit, but I got a couple of them too, I think.
Yeah, geography stuff I got you on, I think. So.
Yeah. You do have a guy training out of Canada. We'll get to that later.
Is there? Which
he has in the past.
Oh, yeah, Nazareth. But hopefully he sticks around on the card. All right, main event of the early prelims, Juras Medic. It should be pronounced Medic, but is it Medic?
It is Medic. It is Medic.
Okay. But and they're just going the nickname, just they're pretending it's Medic. He's fighting Jalen Turner. The nickname being the Doctor. Doesn't really work if you pronounce Medic, but if you pronounce Medic, it makes sense. Jalen Turner is the Tarantula. They're both solid nicknames.
Yeah, they're both good and fitting.
Yeah. Yep. All right, let's break it down. This one's almost pretty much a pick 'em on the board too. We'll start with the Tarantula, Jalen Turner. Oh, we forgot to do the does it matter if they've been on Top Turtle? Because I think the curse may be over. Have any of these people, Semmelsberger, has he been on?
Nobody so far, just Jonathan.
Really?
Other than Jonathan
GSP, okay.
Yeah, because right. He is
wasn't
on this
sure. Okay, I wasn't sure if Jalen Turner was on or not. The name stuck out.
Yes, he has, actually. Way
See,
back.
Yeah, I know your show better than you. We're talking about Dan's other family, his Top Turtle MMA podcast, which is on every week, and you can find on all podcast providers. Jalen Turner, 10-5, 8 knockouts, 2 submissions, so nothing but finishes for this man. He's been knocked out himself 3 times. He is 3-2 in the UFC. He's won his last 2 fights both via finish, obviously, because all his wins have been via finish. However, his last fight was a year ago, September 2020. Let's see how those stats are doing. For a while there, people who have been out of the cage for over a year were killing it. I think it's kind of turning around more to where we thought it would turn. All right, we're down to 52% now, Dan. 48-45 for people who have taken a year off or more. So it's getting closer to where we would have predicted, right?
It almost just seems like it doesn't matter at all.
Yeah, perhaps it doesn't. Are you saying the stuff I'm telling our people to make their bets based on don't matter, Dan? Come on.
Never.
All right, what else can I tell you about Mr. Turner? He was on the Contender Series. Imagine that. 1-0 the Contender Series, 2-0 in Bellator, 1-0 in World Series of Fighting, so he's been all over the place. He used to fight at welterweight. He will be this actually goes hand in hand with that. He's 2 inches taller, 6 inches of reach, 2 years younger. Grappling stats in his favor, plus 105. The Doctor, Medic, 7-0, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions, so nothing but finishes. So you think this one's going to be a finish, Dan? It seems
headed
towards a finish. He's 1-0 in the UFC via TKO, 1-0 in Contender Series via TKO. Striking stats in his favor, plus he's 3 times more active with strikes. He's only had 2 fights in the UFC, though, including Contender Series. He's at minus 115. I'm going to let you pick this one first. Since I've gone first every other time.
I'm going to take Juras Medic. I do really like Jalen Turner. I think he's really promising. I actually hate this matchmaking because I think they're like two promising up-and-comers. But the problem with me for Jalen Turner is I think he's going to be dependent on whether or not he can get a takedown here. And I sort of don't think he is going to be successful enough with enough top time that is really going to come into play. Striking-wise, I think he's just a step behind Juras Medic. I kind of expect Medic to piece him up on the feet. And, you know, the way Medic both is able to move forward really quickly and keep his head off the center line, I think is a problem for Jalen Turner here. So I sort of expect him to knock Jalen Turner out.
All right, Medic is my pick also. I was waffling on this one. But it's, yeah, it makes sense. I wanted to make sure you agreed that Medich was the real deal before I threw in with him, and I guess you do agree. Do you know why Jalen Turner's called the Tarantula, Dan?
Yeah, he has like 800 spiders.
Yes, he was afraid of spiders, so then he
got a whole bunch of them.
Pet Tarantula, and then he had like 200 or something, yeah.
Yeah, then he had to get rid of some of them because he had too many. I don't think there were laws on it. There were like financial responsibilities he couldn't keep up with anymore.
That's wow. Yeah, interesting. All right. Speaking of moolah, let's tell you about Prize Picks. You can turn your picks into real cash with Prize Picks. Then you can get as many tranches as you want.
Thank God. That's what I've been waiting for.
That's what it says. It says that right here in the ad copy. Prize Picks is my favorite daily fantasy app because I buy tarantulas with my winnings. It's fast and it's easy, and it all starts with Prize Picks. Simply pick 2 to 5 players and decide if they will go over or under their stat projection. The more players you pick, the more money you can win, up to 10 times your money. Prize Picks is the only way I play. All right, we're going to see if Dan is good at this or not. We're going to pick some baseball players tonight to show you how a power play option works. We're going to pick 3 over and unders. We're going to bet $20. If we hit these, we're going to win $100. That's the power play option. So, all right, we'll go with hits and walks, over 1.5 hits and walks tonight. I'll just randomly name players. You tell me over or under. How's that sound?
That sounds good.
All right. Xander Bogaerts, because I like saying his name. Xander Bogaerts, Boston shortstop against the Mets.
Over because I hate the Mets. And Xander Bogaerts is probably going to pick up a walk in there, too.
All right, and this guy, you've been on his train recently, Gene Segura, shortstop, Phillies, playing against Baltimore.
I'll go under because I hate the really? Phillies. You just keep picking NL East team.
Oh, that's true, but he's playing Baltimore, though, for crying out loud.
Come on. And have you seen what Baltimore has done to them 2 days in a row? First of all, they won 2-0 on or 2 days ago, and then last night they were up 2-1 in the ninth and gave up a 2-run double in the ninth inning. But they would have beaten the Phillies 2 in a row.
All right, how about former Toronto Blue Jay Josh Donaldson, Minnesota third baseman against the Cubs, over or under 1.5?
I'll take over because I do like the bringer of rain. Plus, he's an ex-Brave, so.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, so we got 2 overs and an under. So you hit all those, you win $100. That sounds good to me. Plus, this is even better. Use promo code SGP to receive 100% instant deposit match for up to $100. So there you go. That's $100 that you're going to win for your power play option, too. You're going to have $100 coming from everywhere. So let's Prize Picks, promo code SGP. Let's see. Should we move on? Yeah. Should I cough? I'm thinking about coughing. Nah. We'll move on. We'll talk about one of Dan's favorites. We're to the main prelims now. I didn't break all this down for you, people. The start time and the TV and all that stuff like I like to do for you. So what we just went through was the early prelims. So this is like I said, a stack fight. There's some decent fighters on. That's the early prelim part. And that is just going to be on it's actually on UFC Fight Pass this week. And it is, I guess it's always on that. And it is starting at 6 o'clock p.m. So that's the early prelims. We're up to the main prelims now, which will be starting as per usual, 8 o'clock, and it's on ESPN. It says ESPN News it's on now. It was on ESPN originally. This has been moved around a bit, ESPN News or ESPN Plus. So we'll start with a favorite of Dan's, women's flyweight. Did she not used to fight out of the gym you train at, Dan? That story I know.
Her original trainer owns her very first ever trainer owns and operates the gym I currently train out of. So we never were there at the same time, okay. And it's like sort of changed locations and I think names once or twice. But her original trainer, whose name is Kirika Jeunesse, owns the gym, although he doesn't teach jiu-jitsu. So he teaches like kickboxing and stuff. So I know him. I've seen him around, and he was her first ever trainer. As like the jiu-jitsu coach also used to train her as well. So so we have some me and Roxy have some ties.
Yes, of course, we're talking about Roxanne Modafferi, who is a friend of the Top Turtle MMA podcast. I know she was on. She is fighting in a women's flyweight bout against Tala. Is it Tala? It's
Talia Santos.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. It's the I should be after the L, but it's before the
L. It would be Talia. It's Talia.
Dan's Portuguese now, and he can pronounce all these names. He can't say Rodriguez, though. Do you know what her full name is, Dan?
Talia Santos? Oh, God, it's probably got 35 words in it,
it's
right?
It's Talayami. Talayami dos Santos.
Oh, that's not as bad. I thought it was going to be
the dos part.
Yeah, I was going to guess that it was like 17 names long, because sometimes those Brazilian ones, like Carlos Diego Fajeda, I think actually has like another name or two in there somewhere.
Probably, yeah. She does not have a nickname, but she has enough real names. Modafferi is the happy warrior. She's 25 and 18, 4 knockouts, 5 submissions. She is an OG. That's what, 40, this is fight 44 for her. She's been subbed 3 times, which is not a big deal when you've fought 43 times. She is 4-6 in the UFC over 2 stints. Here is her last, I'll just break down her last few fights in the UFC. Here's how it's gone. Loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. You catch that? So that's 8 straight fights where she's swapped losses and wins back and forth. Doesn't really have a lot of momentum going here. So she lost her last fight, for what that's worth. She also was on the Ultimate Fighter, where she was 3-2. She also used to be a bantamweight. This one is down at flyweight. She also was in Invicta, where she was 5-2. She also was in Strikeforce, where she was 0-2. She has some grappling championships to her name, and she's an inch taller and has an inch of reach over Santos, plus 325. Santos, 17-1, 10 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 2-1 in the UFC, dropped her debut, but was 1-2 straight. 1-0 in the Contender Series. She also used to be a bantamweight. She's 11 years younger than Ms. Happy Warrior. Striking and active striking stats in her favor. Grappling stats also in her favor. Minus 380. I'll be taking her, and Dan somehow is going to justify taking Modafferi here.
I'm actually not.
Oh, no.
I know. It's so sad.
It's a sure thing, then. This pick is a sure thing.
I just can't bring myself to. Especially because, not just because she's a huge underdog, because she has surprised us as a huge underdog before.
Yeah.
See Macy Barber for more info. But here's the other thing. It's just like all of the things that Roxy does really well, Santos does better. You know, in order for Roxy to win a fight, she has to grind on you. She has to work from the clinch. She has to get trips or body lock takedowns. She can't do those things to Talia Santos. She's too good at it. What she's going to wind up doing is having to strike with Santos, and it's just a nightmare matchup in that way. So, you know, like when you're a grinder and you're fighting somebody who just isn't going to let you fight that kind of fight, it never goes all that well. So, yeah, I got Santos in this. Roxy is tough as hell. I'm going to say it goes to decision, but, I think this is a Santos pick.
There you go. Moving on, we got some chunky guys finally. It's been a real long time since we've had chunky guys.
These are like bona fide chunky guys, including one loose chunky.
Yes. Was Chris Daukus, was he the original loose chunky or one?
He's the OG loose chunky.
Yes. Firefighter Chris. You think he's been on any of those calendars? Sexy firefighter calendars?
I don't think so, but I will say, to be fair, I am not brushed up on what those have looked like in the last few years.
See, he got to put a disclaimer there. Good. How about Shamil Abdurakhimov? Has he been on any calendars, you think?
I'm almost positive he is not.
his nickname is Abrek, which means Avenger. Daukus has no nickname, so we'll just call him Sexy Firefighter. Loose Chunky Firefighter.
I'll allow all of the above.
All of the above works. All right, let's break this one down. This is actually a very interesting heavyweight bout. We'll go with the Abrek, the Avenger, Abdurakhimov first. 20-5, 9 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out himself 3 times. He's 5-3 in the UFC. He won via TKO his last fight, but that was back in September of 2019. He's been scheduled for a bunch of fights since then, but his opponents have pulled out. He's pulled out. Was that COVID thing Dan was talking about that I guess everybody has, but the U.S. Right now. But, yeah, so there's been reasons. He has won 3 of his last 4 fights, for what that's worth. It was years ago, but it's true. He also was a 5-time Sanshu champ in his native Russia. Do you know what a Sanshu is, Mr. Vreeland?
Yeah, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's like a Chinese version of Kung Fu, or am I thinking of Wushu?
No, it's Chinese boxing, so yeah, you're close.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was there.
Damn it, I didn't get you again. Based on their last weigh-ins, he will be 23 pounds heavier than Daukus. It's true, Daukus was like 230-something?
Yeah, he's not a particularly big dude.
See, if he got rid of some of that loose chunk, he could be a light heavyweight, you think, right?
I don't know. He is big. I think he could probably do like a brutal water cut and get himself down there. But I don't know how that would affect him fighting overall.
Yeah. Anyhow, there's no talk of that anyway. What else? Abdurakhimov, grappling stats in his favor, plus 160. Delkis, 11-3, 10 knockouts. So everything has been knockout for him except for one fight, which he won via decision. He has been knocked out himself twice, so two out of three losses have come via knockout. He's 3-0 in the UFC, all via some form of knockout or TKO. He's won four straight fights, 8 years younger. Striking, active striking stats in his favor, minus 200. I will gladly take him at minus 200 in this fight.
Yeah, I can't believe he's only minus 200.
It is heavyweight, so you got to be careful.
Yeah, it's heavyweight, so you don't know, but Abdurakhimov is not a guy who goes out there and, like, knocks people out standing. Like, he needs those takedowns and that ground and pound. And most of the takedowns you'll notice he gets are off of, like, bad striking attempts, like somebody overexerting themselves or throwing a bad leg kick. And, like, Dawkins just, like, pieces people up with very fast boxing. He's going to be so much faster than Abdurakhimov here. And I got to imagine, you know, the run of first-round knockouts here, I'm going to say just keeps going. I think this has got that all over.
First-round prop. Hey,
yeah.
That's a nice prop there.
I think so, at least.
Awesome. Hey, Dan, can I tell you about Mint Mobile?
What do you think? Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay, after you have some fine print contracts and you're ripped off by big wireless providers, if we learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I first heard that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, I thought, what did I think? Do you know?
You thought that there must be a catch.
Yeah, exactly. I thought, what's the catch? But after speaking with them and using their service, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. By cutting out retail stores, there's no crazy overhead costs that get passed down to you in the form of mystery fees. Instead, Mint just passes on sweet savings direct to you. For people looking for extra savings, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. Switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. Get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free. Go to mintmobile.com/sport SGP. That's mintmobile.com/sport SGP. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/sport SGP. All right, let's move on to a fight that's hanging in the balance. Lightweights, Dan Hooker, Nazrat Haqparast. Like we said, lots of teams for both of them. Hooker finally secured his visa to get out of New Zealand, but I think he was saying he was hoping to show up, what, Thursday? Or maybe even Friday in Las Vegas?
So my understanding is he would be leaving on Thursday at like 8 o'clock at night, but he would also be arriving in Vegas on Thursday at roughly 8 o'clock at night.
Well, so he's some kind of shapeshifter, time traveling man.
Yeah. So with the way that the international dateline works, he would be flying for 12 hours, but arrive at the same time or something like that, which is pretty crazy. But yes, like he would be arriving late Thursday night, doing his weight cut, probably on a plane, seemingly, as well as a little bit in the morning, weighing in Friday night, fighting Saturday, which is, whew, seems like a big ask.
Yeah. Question is, how will he get here from New Zealand with, well, we all know Dan taught me that the earth's flat, so the plane has to, how does the plane get past the ice wall at the end of the earth?
I don't know. He would have to go the other way, right? Isn't that what flat earthers would believe?
Oh yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay, good.
It would be longer. It would be a longer flight.
Yeah, as long as the pilots figure this out. All right, so he's having the issues, but then Haqparast, his mother just died, first of all, which is horrendous, so condolences to him. And I guess he's in Germany? Is that right? He's trying to get his visa from – usually he's at TriStar in
Canada.
Montreal.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, is he back because of his mother passing away, or is it a COVID thing, you know?
I have no idea why he would be back, but I would imagine – because I didn't even know the part that his mother died. So, again, condolences.
It's just the past week or two, yeah.
Yeah, I imagine that's why then, because his family, while originally from Afghanistan, is all lives in Germany. So, yeah, I would assume that's the reason.
So, yeah, so he's got a lot of issues going on, too. So, as of Wednesday, his situation is what? Tomorrow morning, he's hopefully getting a visa, I think.
Yeah, that's
the
word.
And then he's going to fly in and weight cut and everything on Friday or whatever. So he's basically the same as Hooker, right? So
yeah, it's
that's a positive, at least, I guess, right? At least
yeah, that they'd be an even playing field. Although I do think that that style of possibly being a little tired actually probably favors Hooker here in that
he doesn't get tired.
Yeah, like he doesn't really get tired. He's got great cardio, and he's not going to be looking to put Hawk Prost up against the cage and grind on him and maybe even take him down. He's going to be looking to strike, which is notoriously takes a little bit less energy.
Okay, and if both of them are having these issues, why are we still insisting that this is going to be at lightweight? Why can't we be like, okay, wait, or a catch weight?
I don't know. They did change the weight of another fight, so I would say most likely.
What if Nick Diaz says he would like these guys to fight at welterweight? Then will they change it?
I would say most likely they're not going to change it. And the reason why I think they're changing Robbie Lawler and Nick Diaz and not this one is because these two believe they have title shot aspirations in their division, whereas I don't think Nick Diaz or Robbie Lawler are under any weird assumptions. Although, hey, fucking maybe Nick Diaz is, because hey, he's a Diaz.
I read it. He's gonna be a welterweight contender after this, even though he's standing at middleweight. So
poor Leon Edwards.
Yes, exactly. All right, let's break down this fight. If hopefully it happens, because this is an interesting one. Hack Press 13-3. Oh, no nickname for him. Hooker's the Hangman, which is an iconic nickname. For this man. Wow, he's already fought 16 times in the UFC. That's wild. Looking at his stats, crazy. He's been around that long already, has he?
He's been around for a while, and he's got some crazy good wins in the early part of that, too.
Yes, sure does. All right, I was going to do Hack Press first. 13-3, 9 knockouts, 5-2 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights. He's 5 years younger than Hooker. Striking and active striking stats in his favor. He's at plus 120. Hangman Hooker, 20-10, 10 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out himself twice, very hard to finish, and subbed twice. So he's been finished 4 times in 30 fights. 10-6 in UFC, as I said. He got TKO'd his last fight. He's lost his last 2. Before that, he was on a 3-fight winning streak. He used to fight at 145 pounds, so maybe him cutting to 155 isn't such a big deal. He also was a former pro kickboxer. He's 2 inches taller, 3 inches of reach. Grappling stats in his favor, minus 150. I'm thinking Hooker if this fight happens. He's like a zombie. He will not die, and if both guys are tired, he will keep trudging on.
Yeah, and I think this one doesn't even really need a lot of breaking down. Dan Hooker is a guy who went toe-to-toe with Paul Felder and beat him striking. He went toe-to-toe with who did he go right after that? Dustin Poirier, and put in a great fight. And arguably, some people thought he won that fight. So, you know, for a guy who went striking toe-to-toe with those guys, now he's going to fight Nasrat Haqparast, who's coming off a win over Rafa Garcia. Like, it's a huge step up for Haqparast. I didn't think I saw enough growth in that Rafa Garcia fight that made me, you know, feel good about him. Yeah, I think Hooker cruises here.
All right. Hooker cruises. Hopefully it happens. Bantamweight, main event of the prelims. This is another good fight. Marlon Moraes versus Mirab Divelishvili. Mirab is the machine. And did you know Marlon Moraes is magic? I didn't know that.
Right. Yeah. Huh.
I like the machine better because that describes it perfectly. Marlon is not a magician, especially not anymore. So. Let's break her down. Marlon Moraes, or Moraes, actually, if you want to say it like us North Americans. He's 23-8-1, 10 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out 5 times and subbed twice, so he's been finished 7 of his 8 losses. He's 5-4 in the UFC. He's been TKO'd in his last 2 fights. He's only won 1 of his last 4. Before all this, he was 11-0 in World Series of Fighting, where he was their champion. He used to be at featherweight. This one is at bantamweight. He also used to be a professional Muay Thai fighter. He's at plus 195 going into this fight. The machine, Mirab, is 13-4, 2 knockouts, 1 submission, 6-2 in the UFC. He's won 6 straight fights. He's the Sambo champion. In his previous life, he's has an inch of reach, 3 years younger, striking, active striking stats in his favor, grappling in his favor, minus 250. I will take Mirab in this one, probably via decision. We did not get the true Marlon Moraes in the UFC. He was pretty much shot by the time he got in here, it appears.
Well, I wholeheartedly disagree with you, and I'm going to take Marlon Moraes in this fight for a couple of reasons. Number one, you're saying he's shot because he has lost three or four. Let's quickly run through the list of people who have beaten him in those three fights. Henry Cejudo, Corey Sanhagen.
Who's that, retired guy?
Corey Sanhagen, Rob Font. And in the middle there, he beat Jose Aldo. So while we're talking about those four fights being 1-3, dude, that is four fights against four of the best bantamweights on the whole damn planet. Whereas, what are we talking about? Mirab Dvalishvili coming over a win over. Go ahead, read off his recent list of opponents. Cody Stamann, John Dodson, Gustavo Lopez, and Casey Kenney. So, yeah, of course his record looks better fighting Gustavo Lopez. Freaking Marlon Moraes would rip Gustavo Lopez's head off, too. The other thing, too, is what does Mirab need to do in order to win a fight? He needs to land 800 takedowns because his striking's pretty rudimentary. Do you know how many takedowns Henry Cejudo, Jose Aldo, Corey Sanhagen, and Rob Font combined for against Marlon Moraes?
97.
One takedown.
Really
and,
off.
And he scored four against them. That's right. He scored four against them, including taking Rob Font down twice. Marlon Moraes has crazy underrated takedown defense and offense. He made Henry Cejudo go 1-for-4 against him. The only people who do really well against Marlon Moraes are guys who can strike with him. And even then, he outstruck Jose Aldo. I think everybody's going to be in for a really rude awakening on this one because Mirab Dvalishvili is a guy who is dependent on the takedown and shooting bunches of takedowns. And he doesn't really even do all that much damage when he's there. It's just bulk takedowns. He went 2 of 20 against John Dodson, a guy who's elusive, sort of like Marlon Moraes. I think Marlon Moraes stuffs a ton of takedowns here and just blasts Mirab Dvalishvili on the feet.
Don't be so hot about it. Jeez, man.
You said it was
obvious. Angry.
You said it was obvious.
You're angry. Holy moly. How much did Marlon Moraes pay you for crying out loud? No wonder you know his nickname is Magic.
By the way, do you know the biggest piece of information on this fight that people need to know, too?
No.
Mirab Dvalishvili has been on the Top Turtle MMA podcast.
Oh, God. Now I feel really bad about it. No, this actually, matchup-wise, this is a decent matchup for Moraes because he's not fighting someone who can actually knock him out. But I'm still sticking with my pick. So you can take your what? You're getting good money on this one if you win, right? Plus 195?
Yeah, I mean, I've also seen the number creep up. I don't know what book we're at right now, but I've seen it creep up to 200 or better. So, yeah, he's a pretty sizable underdog.
But wait till they hear you yelling about him. Then then the number will go crashing down. So get on this. Make sure you actually, it's too late to tell you for this episode if you're not doing what I'm telling you already, but subscribe to our MMA Gambling Podcast feed, our actual podcast, not the SGPN feed. You can subscribe to both, obviously, but if you want to get our podcast the second it drops, we go out on the MMA Gambling Podcast feed first, and then the SGPN feed we go out on the next day because that is a crowded place with all the amazing content we have. So before, if you want to get the podcast before Dan adjusts all the lines in Vegas with his picks, then you definitely want to subscribe. All right, that is the prelims. Let me give you our last couple sponsors, and then we will go commercial-free like we always do on the main card. Odds Crowd, first of all, are you the best football bettor in the U.S.? Are you, Dan?
I'm probably not, nope.
Okay, good. Well, the folks at Odds Crowd are challenging you anyway, Dan, to prove it this football season with their epic free-to-play fantasy betting contest. Each week of the season, there is a $350 NFL contest and a $250 contest. The boys here at SGPN are all taking part. So you try to claim bragging rights over us, too. Here's how it works. Once you enter a contest, you track your bets against real odds and lines, much like you would with any pick tracking app. The most profitable players rise up the leaderboard. If you have the highest profit, at the end of the contest, you win. And OddsCard isn't just a fantasy betting contest. It's a social app for sports bettors. Free to download. You can live group chat with other bettors, track your bets, set up private fantasy contests with your buddies, and much more. So download the app for free or go to OddsCard.com today. And we're also, while you're downloading apps, if you haven't already, make sure you download us, the SGPN app. We're now live in the App Store and Google Play, and we give easy access to all our picks, podcasts, all the articles we have on the website, all the different promos we have with sports books, things like that. So make sure you get the app and throw us up an awesome review because it is a very good app. All right. Have you calmed down about Marlon Moraes yet? Dan?
I think I'm calm now.
Is it based mainly on the matchup? You still don't think he's the top guy in the division, do you?
I actually think both guys are top guys in the division. I think just both of them being where they are right now is both of them are completely style dependent fighters right now. You know, like Marlon Moraes is a guy who, if somebody can style on him on the feet, he's screwed. You know, like, especially if they've got a length advantage and if they've got power shots, like, I think he's screwed. Like, he just doesn't hold up to them very much anymore. And on the other hand, I think Merab Dvalishvili, if he can't score a takedown, is going to struggle. I think he's going to – he would badly struggle with Aljamain Sterling. Not that he would ever fight him because they're, like, best buds. But, like, I think Aljamain Sterling would give Merab Dvalishvili so many problems just because he can't land a takedown. So – I think they're just very style-dependent fighters, and for that reason, I really do like Marlon Moraes.
All right, there you go. I just wanted to check. Just wanted to check. So I can dance on you when you're actually wrong. All right, let's do the main event. This is actually pay-per-view, people, except for, what, like Europe and stuff. They don't have to pay for this, which is nice. But us North Americans do have to pay for this. ESPN Plus pay-per-view. We will start with women's flyweight. This probably could headline a fight night, too, possibly. Jessica Andrade versus Cynthia Calvillo. These stats, actually, the nicknames. You know Andrade's nickname, Dan?
Bate Esteca?
Yes, which means?
Pile driver, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yeah. Very good. And you pronounced it very good, too. Or at least it sounded like you knew what you were saying. Cynthia Calvillo, no
just gotta pretend. You just got to pretend.
You just got to pretend, exactly. Fake it till you make it, I think the kids say, right? All right, Cynthia Calvillo, no nickname. We will go to her first. 9-2-1 with 2 knockouts, 3 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 6-2-1 in the UFC. She did lose her last fight. And over the last 3, she's had a bit of everything. 1 win, 1 loss, 1 draw. She has had issues getting down to the flyweight weight limit in the past. She's missed weight. She's 3 inches taller, 2 inches of reach, plus 215. The pile driver, Andrade, 21-9, 8 knockouts, 7 submissions, 12-7 in the UFC. She got TKO'd in her last fight also, so both women are looking to bounce back. She's only won 1 of her last 3, but like Dan likes to talk about strength of schedule and competition. She's had a pretty vicious streak of 4 fights. Let me see. Actually, we'll go back 5 fights. Rose Namajunas, she won for the, she beat for the belt, and then she lost to Zhang Weili, and then she lost to Rose, and then she beat Caitlin Chukagian, and then she lost to Valentina Shevchenko. So that's pretty strong. Basically, Amanda Nunes is the only name missing off that list of killer female fighters. Basically, she used to be the champ at strawweight. This is up at flyweight. She also used to fight at bantamweight, so she's fought basically in every weight class in the UFC, other than featherweight, which we really know exists in the UFC. Women's featherweight definitely exists. She is 4 years younger than Calvillo. Does that not strike you as weird that she's younger?
Yeah, it's a little surprising, I would say. Yeah,
I know. You know everything heading in, so it's nothing's a surprise to you, right?
Some things are a surprise to me.
And when you're surprised, you say oof. She is the more active striker of the two, minus 280. Yeah, Andrade is my pick here. Calvillo is going to have difficulty getting her down and keeping her down, and Andrade is a monster on the feet.
I'm going to differ with you again. I actually think she gets her down pretty easily.
She did get taken down lots in the last fight, but we're not talking about the same caliber fighter.
But do you really think that, and don't get me wrong, you're right, we're not talking about the same caliber fighter. Cynthia Calvillo is not Valentina Shevchenko, but do you think Valentina Shevchenko is a substantially better wrestler than Cynthia Calvillo? Because she's better at a lot of things. She's a much better striker. She's way better in the clinch. She's got more knockout power.
Better dancer.
I can't comment on that. I've never seen Cynthia Calvillo dance, but like,
that's true. Who's better at shooting guns, you think?
Probably definitely Shevchenko, judging by her Instagram. But like, there's so many reasons that Shevchenko is better, but I'm not sure wrestling's one of them. So there's part of me that thinks Calvillo is going to have enough success in the wrestling here. And I'll say this too, Calvillo's got good submission skills. I think people sleep on how good her submission skills are. So especially at the number we're looking at, right? Because we are looking at a juicy, what did you say, plus 220? 215 here. Yeah, like I think that that's a number where you should be looking to hit Calvillo up on that one.
Yeah, interesting. I like that we're different on things, but you since anytime we differ, you're always going for like a big swing at a underdog, it seems.
Yeah, I like a plucky dog.
It's true. He does like a plucky dog. It is, I wouldn't call Muggsy a plucky dog, though.
No, he's very cranky.
Oh, yes. He doesn't like Charles Barkley or noise. All right. Heavyweights. Again, do we have chunky guys here? No. There's.
Rosenstreich is thick with two C's.
I was going to say, well, what did your girl call him again? I think it was thick.
I think she just said something about him having a donk. Was her
right, donk, yes. Yeah. And I think we changed it, yeah, thick, because we're down with the kids nowadays. You know what they say. Thick probably was like years ago, too. My son will probably be like, what? What are you talking about? Heavyweights, Curtis Razorblades, friend of the podcast, correct?
Yeah, he's
couple
been
times,
on a
couple times, I think.
Yep.
Jarzinho has been on your podcast too, has he not?
He has as well. Biggie Boy.
Biggie Boy. He was on back in the day before he was a big time star, was he not?
He was, but also he was on right during his main event with Surreal Gain. So he even kept me in his heart when he became big time.
It's true. I remember when Francis Ngannou used to be a friend of the podcast too before he was big time.
Yeah, he might be a little too big for me now. You got those agents at CAA, and they bogart him pretty hard.
Tanya, same thing. He was on your podcast before. He was a biggie boy too.
Yeah.
He's a biggie boy too.
Yeah, he's very big.
All right,
Robert Whittaker too. If we just want to keep saying names of guys who are big deals, Robert Whittaker, Mark Coleman. You know, they've all been on the show as well. Artem Lobov.
me, I've been on the show too. Don't forget that a couple times. Curtis Razorblades, Biggie Boy Rosenstreich. We got to go with Biggie Boy. Razorblades is cute and all, but Biggie Boy has got to be the nickname choice here.
I love Biggie Boy. Yeah,
exactly. All right, he's 12-2 with 11 knockouts, so you know what he's trying to do here. 6-2 in the UFC. He won via TKO his last fight. He has swapped wins and losses over his last four. He's got loss, win, loss, win. That's how swapping works. And he did win his last fight, so he's going to lose. He was a former kickboxing champion. He's at +240. Curtis Blades, 14-3 with one no contest, 10 knockouts on his record. He's been knocked out himself three times, but the only people he's lost to are who? Derek Lewis.
And Ngannou twice.
Ngannou twice, yeah. So, yeah, no shame in that game. 9-3 in the UFC with one no contest. He got TKO'd his last fight. That was the Derek Lewis fight, right?
Correct.
Okay. Before that, he had a streak of four straight wins going. He was a JUCO, a junior college, or actually, was it junior college? I think he was junior college, a champion wrestler. He's 2 inches taller, 2 inches of reach, 3 years younger. Based on their previous weigh-ins, he was around, or their last weigh-in, he was around 5 pounds heavier, which negligible for guys this big. Striking, active striking stats in his favor, grappling in his favor. -325. I'm in his favor also. I don't really like a line this big in a heavyweight fight with a guy who can hit like Rosenstreich, but I think Blades is going to win, so I'm going to back him.
Yeah, and I've got a prop later on for this one too, so you can stand by for that. But yeah, I got Blades. He takes him down and wins.
For the prop.
No more analysis needed than he takes him down and wins.
All the listeners, they were about to click off and listen to Joe Rogan. And tell them about bear tranquilizer or something, but now they have to listen.
Yeah, now you got to listen for the props for later.
I know I was going to ask you, what are your thoughts on Joe Rogan not doing this pay-per-view again, Dan? He skipped it for a hunting trip.
I'm very excited. He's just lazy now as an announcer. He, like, doesn't dig into the fights like he used to. He hardly ever knows anybody on the prelims or doesn't speak knowledgeably about them. If he doesn't care about it, he needs to start skipping them all the time, because Paul Felder being on this will be infinitely better.
But how will we know when a guy is about to pop out of a submission, Dan?
Without somebody saying it's in tight,
yeah.
Or how will we know that big muscly guys will get tired?
Exactly. He has basically, I'll keep it clean because I think my mom listens, or she used to listen. He has F off money at this point, so he can basically do whatever he wants with his life. So if he doesn't feel like doing UFC telecast, then he can decide he doesn't want to do a UFC telecast. So kind of like what you and I are going to have when this podcast gets as big as his, which slowly we're headed that way.
We're coming for you, China.
Exactly. So we need some more conspiracy stuff, Dan. So if you can come up with something else about COVID, another conspiracy that we can put forth on our podcast, and obviously that's how you get all the big money for Spotify, right?
I believe so, yes, correct.
I believe so, yes. Okay, let's break down a fight. We already broke down that one. That was an easy one. Oh, boy, this one. This is a strange fight to break down. It should be pretty easy who's going to win, but I guess it's good matchmaking then since it's kind of hard one to break down. It is now a middleweight fight, Nick Diaz versus Robbie Lawler. The rematch, 17 years in the making. It was a welterweight fight until, what, today? Or yesterday?
Yeah, until today.
Yeah, and then Nick Diaz's people decided they wanted to make it at middleweight. And Robbie Lawler, as you would expect, says whatever. I think that's what he says to everything, does he not?
I think so. I also have a feeling that he wasn't as happy about it as people are saying. Yeah, I don't think he was as nonchalant. I think he was pretty pissed.
Yeah. So this is probably bad news for Diaz fans, though, right? This means he's not in the shape that you would hope him to be in, correct?
Or he just doesn't want to cut weight because he hasn't in 7 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, one of the two. You don't know. It's a Diaz brother.
Yeah, I know. But this is a guy.
Diaz.
Yeah. He used to be a lightweight, though. So you would think, you know, cutting to welterweight shouldn't be that big of a deal. But, how much could he weigh right now? If he's going to cut the middleweight.
How long ago was Nick Diaz a lightweight?
He was a lightweight when he used to fight like. I'm going to check. Now Dan's making me check.
We've got to be talking about 15 years ago if we're talking
about
it.
It was a long time. Well, when's the last time he fought, Dan?
Well, not 15 years not ago. Quite. But I'm not even sure he ever fought at lightweight in the UFC, did he?
Lightweight, 07, 08. There was a brief run. I'm going to see who he fought. Maybe that was when he was.
That was in his pride. That's when he fought Taki Gomi.
Elite XC, he fought at lightweight too against KJ Nunes.
Okay, so like
past.
a couple of fights in Pride and Elite
Gomi,
XC.
Yeah, Gomi lightweight, and then Mike Iaina, which I think was lightweight, KJ Nunes lightweight, and then he moved back up. So, anyhow, he's fought all over lightweight, welterweight, middleweight. So, anyhow, this fight is going to be up at the middleweight class. Lawler has fought at both also, so probably isn't that big of a deal for him, but I'm sure him being responsible, he probably was already tapering off his weight for weeks to get prepared for this. So it's probably a bit of a pain in the butt. We got Ruthless Robbie Lawler is the nickname. Diaz, as we said before, does not need a nickname. We'll go with Diaz first. 26-9 with 2 no contests, 13 knockouts, 8 submissions. In the UFC, he is 7-6 with 1 no contest. That's over 2 stints. His last fight was 2015, which was a no contest. Originally, it was a lost Anderson Silva, and then both guys failed drug tests. Diaz for marijuana and Silva for what did he? I can't remember. What was his excuse for that one?
Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, but he was, it was a steroid of some sort, a performance enhancer of some sort. All right, that was 6 years ago. That's how, Dan doesn't even remember that. That shows you how long ago that was. Dan knows everything, and he doesn't even remember what he failed the drug test for. Diaz, 1-2 with 1 no contest over his last, 4 fights? Do you know, we've already talked about this, but his last win was in 2011 against J.D. Penn, a.k.a. Baby J, a.k.a. B.J. Penn. I remember that fight, though.
I remember that fight, but I was in college, so.
Yeah, Dan was putting zeros on the board on the baseball field in college back when Nick Diaz won his last fight.
Yeah. I mean,
pitching.
A couple of them, not hitting. A couple of them once in a while.
Nice. He made his debut at UFC 44 in 2003. Dan's going to tell us what he was doing in 2003.
I was 8th grade.
You weren't in college?
I was not in college.
All right.
It did not take me 8 years to graduate.
I wasn't in college either, but I was at the other end of things by that point. He was 6-0 in Strikeforce, where he was their champion. He was 2-0 in Dream. You remember Dream?
I used to
love Dream.
Yeah, it was a good work.
I can't remember how I used to watch it, but I used to watch it. I guess
tape delayed on tapes that you picked up at the local Blockbuster video?
I don't know. Blockbuster may have been dead by then. It's been a while. He also was in Elite XC, as I mentioned before, where he was 3-1. Do you remember Elite XC, Dan?
I do, yeah. Kimbo Slice's org.
You remember the insane amount of money they would pay people?
Yeah.
Went out of business.
Although they didn't pay Chet Petruzzelli much to kill the business. So.
No, they didn't. He was in Pride, no contest, because did he win that fight against? I think he beat Gomi, right?
And then Gogo plotted Gomi.
Yes, and then he Dan's favorite move, and then he lost that win because he smokes weed, and that's apparently a performance enhancer, or it was back then. It's not anymore. Different weed. He was 1-0 in WEC. WEC never die. I'm not going to ask you if you remember that because you remember WEC.
I remember all of WEC.
Amazing. He was a pro boxer where he's 1-0. He was a BJJ champ. This guy sounds good. He knocked out Robbie Lawler at UFC 47, which was 17 years ago. I wasn't watching it then.
I don't think I was either. No, to be fair.
I remember watching the first few UFCs. We had an old school satellite dish, so they would be replayed all the time. So I remember watching those, and then I dipped out for a while. But I wasn't watching it when he beat Lawler. Used to be one lightweight, used to be middleweight. This is used to be a welterweight, used to be it all. 2 inches taller, 2 inches reach, 1 year younger. Striking and active striking stats in his favor, -110. Robbie Lawler, 28-15, 1-0 contest, 20 knockouts, 1 submission. Knocked out himself 3 times. He's been subbed 5 times. He's 13-9 in the UFC over 2 stints. He's lost his last 4. He's won 1 of his last 6. He hasn't fought since last summer, August 2020. He was the UFC champion. Inexplicably, he made an amazing run there and became the UFC welterweight champ. He was 3-5 in Strikeforce. He was 2-0 with 1-0 contest in Elite XC where he was the champion. He was middleweight champ there, is that right, or not? Was he welterweight champ there? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I think it was middleweight, though.
Okay, yeah. He was in IFL, where he was 1-0. He was in Pride, where he was 1-0. He also has fought at middleweight and welterweight as well, -115. I'm going Lawler. Should be an easy pick, based on how long Diaz has been out. I'm guessing Lawler wins by decision, but Diaz and all his followers say that he actually won the fight because he landed a punch at some point, and we go forward.
I'm going to differ with you again. I'm going to pick Nick Diaz.
I told you this was a tough one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever think you would pick Nick Diaz in a fight?
Not ever again. Not pretty much since I started announcing picks to a public audience did I think I would pick Nick Diaz. So the reason why is just like – if you think about what is giving Robbie Lawler trouble in the fights that he's lost recently, especially the Colby Covington one, that's the one that sticks out to me. It's volume and just not being able to like pull the trigger because you're getting hit with too much shit. And when you think about what makes a Diaz brother great, either of the Diaz brothers, it's that shit. It's volume. It's getting in your face and not giving you an opportunity to throw a punch without getting hit first. And that was a real problem for Robbie Lawler with Colby Covington. Colby Covington hit him with like 230 strikes, none of which had any chance of knocking him out. And I would say this, Nick Diaz both maybe has a chance of knocking him out. Who knows what he looks like? And that's sort of maybe also why I'm picking Nick Diaz, because who knows what he looks like? Whereas like I do know what Robbie Lawler looks like right now, and I don't like it. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Nick Diaz after all that.
Yeah, who knows what he looks like is the reason I'm not going with him, but, you know, it makes – what you say makes perfect sense. Also, Lawler has looked bad. He's got the thing that happens to all fighters when they stick around too long. They can't pull the trigger any longer, and they get overwhelmed by their opponent. So yeah, I very easily could see Nick Diaz winning this fight. I'm going to go with Lawler at this point, but I guess it explains why it's basically a pick'em on the board. All right, now let's get to a real fight. That's more of a Bellator fight. Let's get to a real UFC fight now. Actually, this one probably won't be much of a fight. But Dan tipped his hand. He's going to make this a very funny breakdown.
I'm about to make a bad pick.
About to act a fool out of love. Women's flyweight championship, Valentina Shevchenko versus Lauren Lucky Murphy. So we got Bullet Shevchenko and Lucky Murphy. I'm sure Dan's going to say Lucky's a better nickname, right, Dan?
I would say that's a turkey one. They're both good for good reasons.
Yes. Let's go with Lucky Murphy. I don't know if she's going to feel lucky come Saturday, but we'll see. 15-4, 8 knockouts, 1 submission. Never been finished in a fight. 7-4 in the UFC. She's won 5 straight fights. She was on The Ultimate Fighter, where she was 0-1. She was also in Invicta, where she was 3-0 and was their champion. She formerly used to fight at featherweight also. This one's down at flyweight. I guess she used to fight at bantamweight too, right?
Yes, she was the Invicta bantamweight champion.
Right. Okay, so she's about featherweight, bantamweight, now she's down at flyweight. 1 inch of reach over Shevchenko. More active striker, +725. So Dan's going to make a lot of money because he's going to be a fool and go. He's going to try to justify it, though. Just wait. Bullet Shevchenko, 21-3, 7 knockouts, 7 submissions, 10-2 in the UFC. Her only losses are to Amanda Nunes. You may have heard of her. This is her 6th title of defense. She's won 7 straight fights. She won via TKO her last fight. She also used to fight at bantamweight for the Nunes fights. She was a pro boxer where she was 2-0. She's a pro kickboxer where she was 57-2. She also was a Muay Thai champion. 5 years younger, striking stats in her favor, grappling stats in her favor, -1500. Obviously don't like the line, but there's nothing Murphy does better than Shevchenko. So Shevchenko is the obvious pick here. Probably via decision because sometimes she fights way too cautious and dumb but I don't see Murphy finishing her regardless.
So how much money are you going to win on that bet?
Go ahead, Dan.
Do you want to just tell me how much money you're going to win on that bet?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm going to win my bet. That's the key. You're just giving your money away.
So just for those of you at home who are wondering how much money he's going to win on that bet, it's $6.67 on an $100 bet, which
you're going to lose $100. So that's all right.
Well, if you think that, but here's the thing I will say is that like, if you think Lauren Murphy is going to lose here, I'm fine with you making that argument. I think that that's a perfectly reasonable argument to make based on how Valentina Shevchenko has looked like. But I'm going to play devil's advocate here and take Lauren Murphy for this reason. First of all, this is a betting show and we're talking about using the odds. I don't see any reason not to pick Lauren Murphy at those juicy odds. She's, depending on where you've gotten her during the week, and if you get closer to the fight, you'll probably even get her higher. You could probably get her at 10-1. And if you're telling me she doesn't have a 10-1 shot, I'm going to just quickly outline to you why she does. Because here's the thing, is that like, what has Valentina Shevchenko had problems with before? And you're going to say nothing, but
nothing. Boring.
I disagree, because who just took a round off of her recently? Jennifer Maia took the first round off of her, and how did she do it? She did it by having decent wrestling and grinding on Valentina Shevchenko up against the cage and just putting kind of that like grinding willful style of just like never quit, and she wound up with a whole round of top control. Now, I'm not saying Lauren Murphy is as good of a grappler as Jennifer Maia, but she is a much better grinder when it comes to putting somebody up against the cage, making a fight ugly, and just being fucking straight up tougher. And if that's the case, and Jennifer Maia won one round, do I think there's a 10-1 chance that Lauren Murphy can do that for 2 or 3 rounds? I 100% do. At least at 10-1, I don't think you're silly to put down money on Lauren Murphy. I think it is a fun long shot here, and I think like a lot of people have said, they think that Valentina Shevchenko is just kind of untouchable. We've seen her not be untouchable. We've seen her show flaws. It's not like she's Amanda Nunes, who we just watch murder everybody she fights. She is in there with decisions over Jennifer Maia, where Maia took a round off of her. And I think Lauren Murphy can surprise her with that kind of style.
Do you think Lauren Murphy's going to win on Saturday, Dan?
Ooh, you're going to put me on the spot. No, yes. I would say if you make me pick a gun to my head pick and we're talking about who wins this and I have to pick the winner in order to survive, I think I'd pick Valentina Shevchenko. I think she's got a better than 50% chance. But I don't think she has a 10-1 chance.
Okay, so you're buying a lottery ticket basically.
Yeah. Okay. Instead of winning 667.
That's true. Hey, at least I'm going to win. Main event. Featherweight championship.
You realize if that goes the other way, that the Gerald Meerschaert celebration will pale in comparison?
Man, I'll never be able to. Lucky we reset our books at the end of the year, right? Because I'll never be able to catch you if you win this one.
It doesn't really matter. You would never hear the end of it. Every single show would start with it.
It's true. Alexander Volkanovski is defending his belt, Dan. His featherweight championship belt against Brian Ortega. We got Alexander the Great versus T-City Ortega.
T-City's a terrible nickname.
Yep. Triangle City. Alex the Great's a boring one, too. Generic, but.
But it's way better than T-City.
T-City. 15-1 with one no contest. 3 knockouts, 7 submissions. 7-1 in the UFC with one no contest. He won his last fight. He's failed a drug test way back in the old days. He hasn't had any issues recently. He's 2 inches taller, 3 inches. 2 inches taller, 3 years younger, plus 142. Alex the Great, the champ, 22-1, 11 knockouts, 3 submissions, 9-0 in the UFC. This is his second title defense. He's won 19 straight fights. His last fight was back in July of 2020, though. He was a pro boxer, 1-0. He used to play pro rugby also. I think he used to weigh, 230 or something like that?
I think he was up in the 220s or 230s.
Yeah, so he's basically almost 100 pounds less now, at least on fight night. 2 inches of reach, striking, active strike stats in his favor, grappling in his favor, minus 180. I am going Volkanovski, way too fast. Like, his speed, explosiveness, athleticism, and I just think he's a better all-around fighter than Ortega. Plus, he can take a beating, doesn't get knocked out. He may get knocked down, but he does not get knocked out. And a very strong grappler, which Ortega relies on for his submissions. So Alex the Great is my pick.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. First of all, I would like to say that T-City sounds like a gas station testosterone pill.
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah,
what John Jones gets popped for, right?
Yeah, or maybe what Brian Ortega popped for.
Speaking of John Jones, I saw a picture of him, and apparently he says he's 260 pounds now.
Yeah, he's a big dude. Anyway, I agree with all the things you said about Volkanovski's speed, his wrestling, his grappling, whatever you want to talk about. But I'll say this too: the real reason I love him here is just because he is a master at game planning. He is so good at going in and being amorphous and sort of just using the right game plan to beat the right person. I think he does that here easily against Ortega. He outpoints him on the feet. He makes the fight, he turns it into a grind when he needs to turn it into a grind. He turns it into a distance striking match when he needs to turn it into a distance striking match. And whatever the game plan is to beat Brian Ortega, I am confident that he not only has it, but will go in there and absolutely dominate.
Yeah, that's pretty much sums it up right there. So he is the pick. Sorry we don't have more to say in the main event, but that's, we can sum it up pretty quickly for you right there. All right. Do you have any – this is what the Gens, hashtag the Gens want. They want big bets. They want plus 725 and Lauren Murphy isn't enough. They want, 28 fight parlays and crazy prop bets. Do you have anything to wet their whistles?
So I'm going to say just a couple of prop bets that I really like. One of them being that I do really like, and it's not going to give you that big juicy number you like. I'm going to give you Curtis Blaydes wins by TKO. Curtis Blaydes wins by TKO, which I think is a pretty safe play. It's plus 185. Yeah. So I really like that one. I think he's going to take down and ground and pound out Yair Rozenstruik, who just – I don't think has the abilities to handle him in that way. I will also take Chris Daukaus wins in round one. Chris Daukaus wins in round one is betting off at plus 260. So I really like that one. I think he's just going to knock out Shamil Abdurkhi. He's won in the first round 3 times in a row. Why not take him again? And then if I want one more in there, heck, I wish I could find numbers on some Ellisberger wins in the first round. But if you look at some Ellisberger by submission, which is maybe he's going to go in there and knock him out. But if he does choose to go by submission, plus 500 on some Ellisberger by submission. So I'll just throw that one out there as another one I'm not hating.
All right. Awesome. Do you have a crazy parlay for the
Chiefs? Sure. I'll throw one up there. First of all, put Volk in one. He's going to win negative 175, not even a bad number. I also think your parlay should all have Chris Daukaus in there at his number plus 215. That's automatically going to be a nice start to it. And I'll say this, add Talia Santos to it too, because those three are surefire things. And before we're even picking a big dog, we can feel pretty comfortable about getting this return. Then I'm just going to add one of the big dogs who I like. I've rattled off three today, either Jonathan Pierce, Marlon Moraes, or Cynthia Calvillo. Pick the one that fits your taste the best. For me, I'm going to go with Marlon Moraes, and that's going to give you 9-1 odds with Volkanovski, Daukaus, Santos, and Marlon Moraes.
They're all bad dogs, so don't take any of the dogs Dan just said. Bad dogs.
Just go chalk to the top from the bottom of the card like Jeff did today.
Yeah, it wasn't the plan. No, do I have underdogs? I don't know if I do.
I think you went over, man.
Yeah, there's some pick-ups, so that's gonna be interesting. Oh well, at least I'm gonna win. Let's go with our locks. I think it's my turn to go first. I'm taking Volkanovski minus 180. I'll take him as my lock.
I like that. I'm gonna go with Curtis Blaydes. Curtis Blaydes is a safe one.
All right. So I think we can put it to bed. This is one of our longest episodes ever. But there's lots to talk about. What can you people do in the meantime? Make sure you read our stuff at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We're running out our NBA team previews, a new team every day, telling you how to bet on the team, how to play fantasy sports on that team, all that type of stuff. We got NFL coverage out the wazoo. We got MMA coverage from me and Dan on the site. And obviously, you can listen to all of our amazing podcasts. If you just want MMA stuff, go over to MMA-manifesto.com. Lots of articles, Dan and myself once again. And I have a pick 'em contest on there, so you can get on there and win some good stuff. So head over to that. Follow us on Twitter, Jeff Fox Writer. He is Gumby Vreeland. You have anything else to tell the people, Dan?
No, you got it all.
Okay. Well, until Sunday, we'll be back on Sunday with a recap on how I went chalk, but at least I won. And we will give you a preview of next week's Dana White Contender Series. So until then, I will continue to be Jeff Shock Juice Fox. He will be Daniel Barney Gumble Gumby Freeland. And we are out of here. Bye-bye.